I remembered this time. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to more, in one sense, we're going to drop the other shoe from the message that I had opportunity to bring last month to stand in for the pastor. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 16, focusing on 14, 15, and 16 as we look to this portion of Scripture. let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It's recorded in God's Word, the Bible. You are the salt of the earth, but if a salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord again and we'll continue. Father, precious it is to be in your house this evening. Precious to look upon the faces of these my brothers and sisters and of their families. Lord, we're thankful that you've brought us to this point in time, that we can be here for the matter of worship. Let it be that we could hear from you through this portion of Scripture we look at this evening. I pray that the Holy Spirit might continue to work in me as an individual, for us as individuals, and in this church body, Lord, that we could be strengthened, that we could be instructed, we could be emboldened to be more about your work. Lord, that you'd give us a vision for the ministries that you would have us to be about and how we're to conduct our ministries before you. I humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we looked last week at focusing on verse 13, where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt, we talked about, was a symbol of purification and sanctification. Remember that all the sacrifices on the altar in the Old Testament had to be seasoned with salt to be acceptable to the Lord. Salt preserves from corruption, and also salt does something else important. It elicits thirst, and we as salt to the world's people, we should be seeking to whet the tongues, the hearts, the minds of people to have spiritual thirst, that they might then come to hear more of God's word. Salt is also, it's speaking about those that are of their citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And again, salt is an impediment to corruption, but I got a little bit hung up on this matter where it says that, but if salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Said it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Well, it's possible, and then we talked about how that we need to be salty Christians. Our words need to be seasoned with salt. We need to be separated from sin and self to the world that we can be used of God. And we can indeed be resalted. We should not get the idea that we've got the right to give up when we sin, when we fall short of the standards of God that is set, even when we fall flat on our face. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, let me go over so I can read that. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, okay, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That letter to that John wrote to the in 1 John, that letter was written to save people. Understanding that we are going to fall short of the glory of God in our service and the things that we do. We sin. But we shouldn't let that be a hindrance to our service. Confess our sins, and God can then continue to use us. So we can be made right again in that sense. We can be salty Christians. Again, that's a matter of our own personal will to hear the things of God and to obey Him. Then he says again, he says, in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that sit on a hill cannot be hid. Well, in this message, we're going to try to look at three questions. We're going to look at what this light is that Jesus was talking about. Number two, we're going to look at what this light does. And number three, my fingers can't do that very good, old arthritis fingers. How can we be light to the world? And I want you to note that in verse 14 and verse 13 and 14, it starts with the word ye. And Jesus was pointing at individuals. He's pointing at you, he's pointing at me, he's pointing everybody, particularly those that are his children. This is something that he expects of us. So what is this light that Jesus spoke of? Well, we know up front that the light Jesus referred to in this verse is spiritual rather than physical light, yet there are some interesting parallels between the two. Without sunlight, there would be no life on this planet, and without spiritual light, there would be no spiritual life in this world. The Bible often used terms, this word light, to typify light. In Job chapter 18, verse 5, Job wrote, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." In this, this light is talking about the knowledge of God, that these individuals that have no knowledge of God, their life, their light is going to be put out. And indeed, it's just like that spark that goes up from the fire. You like being out there in the fall when we're having a wiener roast or something, or you're sitting around the campfire and you throw a log in and the sparks go up and they're gone. Well, that's the way the life of the lost person is. It's here and it's gone. The first words that God spoke were concerning light. Remember that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God is the author of light and life, both in the natural and in the spiritual sense. The pagan religions of the ancient world worshiped sun gods. A lot of the religions, when you look at and you see them, there a lot of the things they did were knockoffs of God's original intent for worship. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars for us to see His glory in heaven, and man turns around and changed it into an incorruptible, worship the creature more than the creator. Mm. Well, and the sacrifices that God required for rightness with Him, shed blood sacrifices, the pagans, religions of the world came up to and include human sacrifice. Well, again, God is the author of all life, and these religions tended to one, and most religions, their number one God was focused around the God of light. To the Greeks, Helios was their sun god, Sol, the Roman sun god, Amun-Ra in Egypt, Quetzalcoatl in Aztec, and the Akecha to the Inuit. of our northern coast. Well, as God has maintained and currently sustains natural life, so God is the sole source of spiritual life. Both in the Old and New Testaments, they show light and life in the spiritual sense as being the same. In Psalm 27, verse 1, the Bible said, "The Lord is my light and in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Charles Spurgeon, in commenting on this verse, said this about my light. He said, "Into the soul at the new birth, divine light is poured as a precursor to salvation." Remember that it says in the first chapter of John that Jesus lights, gives a little bit of light to every person in the world. And that's talking about spiritual knowledge, spiritual awareness, that he works on the conscious nature of man to make his being known, and also our finiteness and the need of something greater in us for salvation. He says, "Where there is not enough light to see our own darkness and to long for the Lord Jesus, there is no evidence of salvation." So when people reject the light, the spiritual glimmers that God presents to them, if they refuse them, they'll end up being separated from God and going to hell. Salvation finds us in the dark, but does not leave us there. After conversion, our God is in every sense our light. It is not said merely that the Lord gives light, but that he is light. Nor does he give salvation, because he is salvation. He then who by faith has laid hold upon God has all covenant blessings in his possession. Every light is not the Son, but the Son is the Father of lights. He says the power of darkness are not to be feared, for the Lord, our light, destroys them, and the damnation of hell is not to be dreaded by us. So we're going to look in a little bit at this matter of what this light is, extends to more than just life. It extends to the knowledge of God. It extends to the way that God works on individuals to make his presence known. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Again, you see, Isaiah was writing about God's law and his testimonies. And this is how it's linked, that individuals that refuse that, there's no spiritual light in them. There's no spiritual knowledge. There's no spiritual understanding. They've made the choice to reject that. John chapter 8, verse 12, we know very, very, very well. "So then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The word light in this verse and in our text, verse 14, comes from the Greek word phos, which means light bringer, to make manifest, or fire. It's where we get the knockoff from that. From phos, we get the word phosphorus in the English language. In Vietnam, well, they use white phosphorus. Willie Peter. It burns very, very hot, very, very brightly. Well, that's what God, that was Jesus' life. When you look at his life, you know, what life that's existed in this world has been more proclaimed or made bright than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? He burns bright. He was the light in the world. In a whole world of darkness, what Jesus did changed the whole world through his light. And he wants to continue to bring that for us to bring that light to the world and to continue to show his deity, to show the way of salvation. So number one, just for brevity, what is this light that's spoken of? Well, Jesus is the light of the world. It's talking about the matter of salvation. It's about talking about the matter of spiritual knowledge and reception. And we'll go on from there. We'll look at what does this light do? Well, Jesus very often used the teaching tool of comparison to depict spiritual truth. And that's what he was doing in this portion of scripture we looked at in Matthew chapter 5. And it shouldn't be lost on us. I didn't bring this up this time, but you remember when Jesus had just given the Beatitudes, where he said, blessing upon blessed are those that, you know, that hunger after thirst and rises, blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. He was drawing, in a sense, he was drawing the line now, and he says, you people that possess those characteristics, this is what you should be passing on to the world, as you are light and you are salt. This is what you're to do. You're to exemplify those characteristics. But he used this teaching tool of comparisons, and we use it all the time ourselves because there's no better example than the example that the Lord gave himself. And speaking of light, light equals life, it equals wisdom, it equals union with God and walking in the truth, versus darkness, which is equals death, false teaching, separation from God, and living a rebellious, self-centered life. And then to get to the essence of what this light does, it can save the souls of men. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought forth life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we begin to see now the link that God has given, that spiritual life comes through the gospel. For those that would to escape the sentence of death, it's going to come through the knowledge of the gospel message, and that's what we're responsible to take to the world. And you know, we looked at that, Jesus, this analogy about Jesus as being the sun, it says in Malachi 4:2 that Jesus was the Son of Righteousness, but the sun has the energy and the power to radiate from itself. We don't have that ability. We're more like the moon, which reflects the light from the sun. But if you were out the other morning and you saw that moon up in the sky, pretty beautiful. It was making nice shadows and stuff. Well, God wants us to be in Genesis chapter 1, there are two types of light that's talked about, the light bringers and the light reflectors. We're to be those light reflectors. When Jesus said, well, let me go with one more verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So again, the matter of the great contest in this world that's going on right now is for the souls of men. And the only way that the lost are going to be brought out from spiritual darkness into spiritual light is through hearing and believing the gospel message. And as it says in the book of Romans, how can they hear if there isn't a preacher, if there isn't someone that can go and share with them the light? And just so, I don't want you getting comfortable, because I want you to go back to that word ye again. It's each and every one's personal responsibility to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so that word is the Greek word photismos. It means illumination or knowledge. And so that's very, very closely linked with what light is. But just think about that. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what we need to be taking to the world. And Satan is working 24/7, 365 to hold people in spiritual chains of darkness. But he's losing the battle. When we see our missionary, Noah George, in Lebanon, making breakthroughs with the Arabic-speaking peoples there, the darkness that's held those people in Islam, in the false religion of Islam, is being turned aside. Brother Noah is a bright light. The missionaries that are working around the world that are taking the light into a world of darkness, making a difference in Nepal, Manitoba, in South Africa, in Russia, in Taiwan. The light of the gospel is going to make a difference and is making a difference in the world. And when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," he was implying that great privilege carries with it great responsibility. Jesus gives the Christian both a great compliment and a great responsibility when he says that we are the light of the world, because he claimed that title for himself when he walked the face of this earth. You know, it is a bit humbling that God would say that he compares us with him as light of the world. Ponder that in a moment in time. And it humbles me, and it should serve to humble you and I. D.L. Moody said this. Said, "It is a great deal better to live a holy life than to talk about it. We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. The light will be its own witness. Lighthouses don't ring bells and fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine." And so we'll get into this in a little bit. Just as we have that responsibility. I remember when I was a little kid, you know, Sunday school, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You guys sing that when you're in Sunday school? Okay, well, that's what we need. That was just for little kids. It's for us. We need to let our light shine that people could see Christ in and through us. And then in verses 14 and 16, again, he says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so that is the essence of why we need to be salty Christians, why we need to be light givers to the world for God's glory. The lighthouse that Mr. Moody spoke about, the lighthouses that sit on our nation's shores shine their light so that approaching ships won't fall into calamity. They show the way that peril can be avoided. Those lighthouses are fixed, but we're to be like mobile lighthouses. That wherever we go, that our light would shine. That we would carry that gospel message here and in our lifestyle. That people would be drawn to hear and have the opportunity to hear and believe the gospel. We need to be giving warning to those sinners of impending doom. We need to let people know the spiritual position that they're standing in, that they're resting in, so that then they can make an offer of repentance. No person ever got saved until they first understood that they're lost. That's our responsibility, and it's one of the great things that we're learning now in this discipline in the Bible Institute, is to have the tools to be able to step forward and use the Bible, use Scripture, use the understanding that we have that God has given to make a difference, to take light to the world's people. And it says it cannot be hid. This is given in the Greek in the form of an absolute. It means absolutely not possible. And it's like saying to be put in a crypto, which we get the word crypt. We shouldn't ever, you know, something that's sealed up in a crypt. No light. We can't be doing that. We need to be like that lighthouse, shining bright all the time. And we don't want to be like that candle. You see how a candle gets when it gets down to the end and it's starting to sputter and smoke and gutter, what they used to call it. Not much light there. We can't be like that. But you know, when we allow distractions of the world, when we allow sin and self to overrule what God would have us to be doing, we can become like that. We can dim our light. We can become less salty. We can become less able servants for the Lord. Because it's all for the Lord. It's all for the Lord, for His glory. We need to be prepared to take this light to the world to make a difference in the souls of men. We need to reflect Christ to the world. So we've looked at a bit what this light is and what this light does. And just as we end up, I want to look at a little bit about how that we can be light to the world. One commentator wrote, says, perhaps the key to this lies in our own personal desire to please the Lord, recognizing the responsibility to live a life that is emblematic of our Lord. If we're to be effective in our witness for Christ, we must live a life that has savor. That's what Jesus said. We don't want to lose our savor. We want to be salty. We want to be able to bring people to have spiritual thirst, that they would be willing to hear and come and hear the gospel message and be saved and be saved. Our identification to the world should be of Jesus and not of the world and its ways. So as He was that true light that lightest the world, the challenge is for us to be as much like our Savior as possible. Wow. But how are we going to make a difference in the world if we look like the rest of the world? Well, we need to let our light so shine before men that God could, that people could see the Lord Jesus Christ and Him be praised. Thus, Jesus was expanding upon the teaching He had already given in the first part of this address. His sense is this: that the light of the gospel, which He had communicated to them, the spiritual knowledge of the mysteries of grace, which He had favored them with, were to be openly declared and made manifest before men. Let your light so shine before men. Light was not given merely for their own private use, but for the public good of mankind, and therefore, as they were placed as lights in the world, they were to hold forth in the most open and conspicuous manner the word of light and life. And when you examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you examine the life of the Apostle Paul, when you examine the lives of those early Christians, they exemplified these characteristics because they took it real serious about obeying the Lord and getting his message out to the world. So, sometimes I've found that it's good to step back and have a to take a look at where I am spiritually and where I want to go and make an earnest, honest assessment in the light of what God says. And when I look at this, these verses, that this scripture that we've looked at about being salt and light, I came to know and to understand that God was demanding of me a higher level of sanctification, of separation from the world and its ways and to God. Maybe it's one of the reasons why I had that stroke. God wanted to get my attention about something. He's serious about us serving him, and he's serious about us living sanctified, separated lives, that our light can shine out to the world, that as salt to the world's people, we can give them spiritual thirst that will cause them to know and seek our Lord. And so I would just say, as individuals and as a church, we have some, you know, this church is really blessed with strong leadership. Pastor Humphrey and Pastor Demlo, they have a vision for our church and where we're heading. We have some goals, especially for the native peoples, and we should be on our knees, and we should be very, very, very serious about getting the light of the gospel to the native peoples. You know, get ready, get set, go. As the tools present themselves, we need to be ready to go out. And we need to, as it says in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. And in Esther it said, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Talk about you and me. What are you really here for? Well, let's get serious about serving the Lord. Let's get serious about being salt and light, that we can make a difference for the Lord. And so, what is this light? Well, this light that Jesus was talking about equates to the matter of spiritual knowledge and union with him. And that what it can do is it can bring sinners to salvation. And how can we be light to the world? Well, that's largely up to you and to me. How much we're willing to surrender our life, our time, and our talents to the Lord, and how serious we are about emptying ourselves out of sin and self and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and use our lives. That's the challenge that's before you and for me. I'm taking it more and more serious every day. I have the world around us is getting increasingly wicked, but if there's going to be changes in this world, it's going to come through Christians sharing the gospel for being salt and light. So I'll leave you with that. But just, I would challenge you to be thinking about this read those verses and meditate on them this week and see what the Lord has to say to you about them.